Oh, I wasn't ready. Dr. G is back and talking about his own butt this time.
When the doctor becomes the patient.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. And for our Patreon supporters, you can now watch us live, the first half of the show for today, that is, on video. So if you're a Patreon subscriber, head on over to Patreon, click on the link, and you'll have access to our video live stream. We're super excited because we're welcoming back Dr. Evan Goldstein with this month's Tales from the Tales. Today's topic is all about what happens when doctors become patients. My name is Tom, and I'm your host. And as always, I'm here with my good friends, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
So there's so much that has happened over the course of the last week. A lot of good news coming all the way from the other side of the globe. We're super excited to talk about that. But before we do, as always, we do talk about a cocktail that we always drink. And so today, we went back to the lands of Oz.
Did we?
Kidding. But we're
you know, that's really funny you bring that up. But anyway, we'll talk about that later.
We're drinking something that we have already had actually a couple of times on the show, but they're so good. And today's a rainy day and we needed a pick-me-up. And so we decided to do something familiar. So, Christopher, do you want to talk about what we're having today?
What did you say? Moscow Mule?
Yes.
Yes, that's the one we planned on.
Yeah,
well, we planned ahead on, you know. Yeah. The Moscow Mule.
So what does the Moscow Mule consist of?
It's very simple. Vodka, lots of it, fresh lime juice, and ginger beer.
And that's a little bit of simple syrup.
Yes. Yes.
And it's very delicious and
Nutritious.
It's kind of nutritious.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's got fresh lime juice in there.
Indeed, and ginger. I don't know what recipe calls for simple syrup, but we'll go with that too.
Simple queen.
So we were talking about, you had just mentioned
the Land of Oz.
Land of Oz. Well, I'm going to play something for you guys because this was my Saturday night.
No, because nobody understands the Tin Man. He's like kind of like the man.
So you don't understand me?
I think people don't understand you. I think that the Tin Man is this like courageous character who just lives his life without regard, and people won't get him.
Who is the drunk lady?
I can't. I'm not going to say it.
I think I know, but I know.
But that's amazing.
I don't know how we got on the topic. We were walking home and like we were talking about the Wizard of Oz and the Yellow Brick Road. And then she started comparing me to the Tin Man. I'm like, but the Tin Man has no heart. And she was like, and then we had this long conversation about the Tin Man that somebody filmed and sent to me today. And I was like, oh, God, that happened.
Well, as the wizard said, the Tin Man had a heart all along.
Exactly. He just needed to find it, I guess.
Exactly.
That is hysterical.
Uh-huh. There's also a video of us skipping down the street to singing.
We're off to see the wizard.
See, like, I never want anyone to get hurt, but I kind of wanted to see someone fall while skipping there. Like, not get too hurt, but
nasty.
There's nothing funnier than a drunk person skipping and just taking a tumble. That's just, like, it makes it complete.
Oh, I can't. So, I haven't seen you boys in about, it feels like it's been like a year, but I haven't seen you boys in about a week. So, why don't we start with, obviously, we already know what happened in your weekend. Is there anything else you care to elaborate on?
So, I worked Friday, and then I had dinner with friends on Saturday, which turned into drinks, which turned into a night. Obviously, clearly, Wizard of Oz came up. But Sunday was, I went to a birthday party for a friend, and they had bought case upon case of Prosecco, and Tommy saw me at the end of the night.
She was nasty.
she was going through it.
He was crooked.
She was going through it. I had a lot of Prosecco on Sunday, but it was so much fun. We had a blast. And yeah, I mean, that was really my weekend this weekend, just hanging out with good people.
Well, and I had to work that Sunday night, and typically I would always walk into work and Nick would be there, and I would be like, hey, you know, let's do a meeting. And after our little meeting, which is basically taking shots, we would start working, right? I start setting up my equipment for karaoke, and we would just go through our motions through the night. But it was weird because Nick was off, and he had not come into the bar at that point. And it's so hard to get to the bar and have two Jose's behind the bar.
Oh, my God. I know. It's double Jose
worst.
Night.
It was the worst because you say Jose, and they both look at you like, what? Like deer in headlight. I'm like, I want a cocktail. And they're like, well, what do you drink? I'm like, oh, God, I wish Trish was here. You know, she knows. But yeah, no. And then, so Friday, I ended up having our mystery guest, who probably won't be so mysterious after all because of the video live stream going forward if he ever comes to visit.
He's pretty.
He is very pretty. So he came over, and he's an electrician, and he went in and put in the recessed lighting for me. And
oh, then, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my God. Welcome back to Earth.
She is a part of the show.
And so I ended up putting all the ceiling tiles where the lighting was going to go. We did the cuts, and there's still some work that needs to be done. We've got some tiles that are missing and stuff, and so those will get put in. And there's some the outer perimeter actually needs to get cut. Like, we need to measure and cut them so that they fit, because they're not full size tiles. But other than that, that's pretty much all I did all weekend. And then my mom is here, so I took Saturday night off from the bar.
We both took a night off this weekend.
Yeah, and so I went to my grandmother's, well, my aunt's house, and my grandmother was there. It was her birthday, and so there was a lot of family members there, and you know how that goes. And It was an amazing time. It was. I always love spending time with that woman. She's just unbelievably quick and savvy and witty, and she reminds me a lot of Sophia in
Golden Girls.
Golden Girls. And because she's very, like, you know, she's very witty and will come at you like, what are you doing over there? Why are you sitting there with your phone? Turn that goddamn phone off. Get your butt over here and sing for me. So they made me sing for her.
So let's just talk about this really quick. If we were all a golden girl, who would we be?
I would probably be Blanche. Although not now, but in my earlier years.
Okay.
I'd slowly turning into Dorothy. Who would you be?
I don't know. Probably help me out.
I think you're a combination between Sophia and what's the other one?
I know, I'm blanking. Betty White.
What's up? It's Blanche, Sophia, Dorothy, and
Rose.
So you would be a combination
of Rose and Sophia. Yeah,
Sophia. And who would you be?
I think he's Dorothy.
What's the Golden Girls?
Oh, he's Dorothy.
I'm kidding. I know what it is, but I've never seen it.
He's Dorothy, yeah. For sure.
Christopher left. Is she like the wicked, wicked old one?
No, that's...
No, Rose is the only one alive.
Betty White.
No. The character that's like,
Sophia. No, you're not the wicked old one. You're the daughter of Sophia.
She was the youngest one out of all of them.
I know.
Sophia, who played the mother, was the youngest one out of all of them.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. So Estelle Getty is the one they're all dead except for Betty White.
Yeah.
So, you know. So what did you do this weekend, Mr. Christopher?
My weekend consisted of serving old people seafood.
Be nice.
Algebra, reading, writing, and music of the Middle Ages. Nothing exciting. It was not a fun weekend.
So you mentioned math. You're taking a math class you're back in school, right? School started again.
Semester's full steam.
And you're taking a math class. You're taking algebra?
Yep, Math 137.
And how do you love it?
It is draining me. Everything else is just coming out of me fine. History's good, philosophy's good, music history, and English, but this is the one that just takes so many hours a day.
So, as usual, like every Monday when we gather, Nick usually gets here before Chris does. So today Nick sits down and he goes like, so... On a scale of 1 to 10, how tired do you think Chris is going to be today? Because, you know, Chris normally walks in and is like, I'm so tired. And so I said, well, I think it's going to be like 8.99. Mm-hmm. And then Chris walks in and he's like, I am so tired. And I just started laughing. And I said, you know,
I can't.
Nick and I were just discussing this before you got here. And then we went and had a smoke and came back in. And that was the end of that conversation. But that was fun.
Working full time and studying full time is exhausting.
Tell me about it.
Try working a part time job, a job where I'm working two jobs and associate producing a podcast.
I love how it's always a competition with you people. Like, so many human beings are like that. Like, whenever one person feels one way, they're always like, well, look what I have to do.
Yeah. Sounds like Donald Trump.
Okay. You just ruined it, Tommy.
I needed something to sort of kind of divert. But anyway, all right. So listen.
So I have proof as to why I'm Rose. Hold on. Let me find it really quick. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I just had it.
Don't you just hate it when you're looking for something?
Oh, yeah. So here's a quote that she said. The older you get, the better you get, unless you're a banana.
Well, that is true. That's definitely you. So there's a couple of stories that we've got to talk to. We're super excited. Dr. Evan Goldstein is back with us finally after 2 months hiatus. He will be coming on the show, on today's show, to talk about what happens when he becomes the patient. And let me tell you, it's quite the story on his Medium.com blog. Yep. But before we do that, we're going to jump into a couple of stories that we have. I've come with a lot of amazing news all the way from the land of India. India recently, about 5 days ago, the highest court in India decriminalized gay sex in a landmark ruling, which is amazing, right? It's a very amazing first step for them because that means that, you know, being homosexual is no longer a crime. But there's still a lot of work to do. So before we get into that photo, because I know you want to talk about it, and I'll let you talk about it. But there's a lot of things that happen, right? So sex becomes decriminalized between gay men or gay women, and it opens up the doors for a lot of progress in a country in where, you know, family values is very, very, very important. You know, the ability for a son, especially, to take care of his family rests upon his social status, where he's from. And being gay and having to fake who you are just so that you can appease your parents or portray a certain lifestyle so that you don't get condemned to being, you know, a criminal is very hard and harsh to have to bear that weight. Just for the sake of being, you know, being amazing in the eyes of your parents. And, you know, you got to understand that, like, here in America, certain cultures or certain demographics tend to sort of kind of say, you know, I really don't care what my parents think. You know, they're going in a home anyway whenever they can't fend for themselves. That's not the case in a lot of these countries. You know, parents, along with their children and sometimes their extended family, tend to live in households together. And so the ability for a son to be able to provide for the family is very important. And the fact that they're no longer being criminalized for being who they are is an awesome step forward for these individuals being able to still stay in the home and also not be considered criminals and being able to provide for their family.
But what's also interesting about this article that you're talking about is out of an estimated 48 former British colonies that criminalized homosexuality, 30 still have laws based on the original anti-LGBT legislation.
Yes.
According to Lucas Mendes, co-author of the 2017 International LGBTIQ Whatever Plus Association, it's state-sponsored homophobia.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I did not know that 30 countries still have laws based on the original colonial anti-LGBT legislation. That's crazy.
And this is after Britain no longer, like, right, for example, Britain used to be have control of India. It's no longer the case, and it has been for a very long time. But they still kept a lot of these laws on the books regarding this. So why don't you describe the picture that you're looking at in our notes today?
So the picture in our notes today is adorable. It's a parent. It's a mom and a dad with a son. And the mom's kissing the son's cheek. And the son is smiling, and so is the dad. And they have a sign that says, my son is not a criminal anymore.
And it's amazing. And it's beautiful. And it sends an amazing message. And this is what I'm talking about, right? Because this boy, this young man, would have been responsible for his parents, right? That's a unit. They live together, and they typically do this even when he gets married. If he would have married a woman, the woman comes into the household, and this is how they live. And a lot of Muslim nations do this. A lot of Arab nations do this. The Indian people do this as well. They're very, very big on having extended family members and new family members join the family, and they all live as a cohesive unit, which is not typical here in the U.S. But this means that this young man can still provide for his family and not be considered a criminal. It's an amazing, amazing thing.
So, yeah, this is a great step forward. We also have to acknowledge that they have a long way to go.
Absolutely.
They you know, it's decriminalized. That's it.
Yep.
So they can't go to jail for, you know,
for being gay, but there's still, you know, you still have the whole oppression thing behind it.
Yep.
People still being victimized for gay. And, you know, so there's still members out there of our community that will most likely still have to hide for fear of being killed, for fear of being beaten, taunted or harassed. It still exists. Or
excommunicated from the family.
Oh, of course.
And, you know, it's, yes, this is the decriminalization of it. With these, like, Gregorian laws, you know, they were hardly ever applied. Yes, of course, there were instances where they were, but these were still on the books of these nations that were so backwards. And yes, now at this point, as the author of this article was saying, there was a quote, the next step is to start looking at issues of rights. That's going to be so this is a huge win for the LGBT community, for Indian people as a whole. Then now it's where to go forward from here.
Right. So like you were saying, the right that every citizen of the country should have access to and should not be taken for granted, the right to marry, the right to adopt, the right to inherit, things that no one questions and that are clearly denied to certain sections of the citizens.
Absolutely.
So like, yeah, they have a long way to go, but this is a huge step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so amazing to see them wrapped around in the LGBT pride flag, right? And I've always loved Indian culture for their colors, for their
food,
their food, their dress, their vest, their dress,
linen,
their clothing. Period is just so colorful and so vibrant and so full of culture. It's just absolutely stunningly beautiful, and to see linen and to see that, you know, the pride flag wrapped around these individuals in front of what seems or appears to be the courthouse is just beautiful and stunning.
It's probably amazing. A linen pride flag.
Yeah, you never know.
I love linen.
I know.
Do you like linen, Nick?
Yeah, I do.
He does. He wears it often, and then he complains because he's sweating. He goes, but it absorbs.
Okay.
Whatever.
It's flowy and it's cute.
And it is very cute. Okay. That being said, we should move on because we do have a guest coming on, and I know Nick has something that he would love to talk about. It's also a very good news story. It's a good news all around. So Nicholas, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you have?
Okay, today? So yeah, of course. So we talked a little, I think we already talked about this on the show a little bit. The new movie that's coming out, it's called Boy Erased. And Troye Sivan, who we all know is a huge gay pop star now, he's been like just climbing and climbing and climbing. He recently gave a interview on the late night show. And basically the interview was about his music and like what it's like going from, you know, a YouTube star to being like this famous pop star. But he dives so deeply into what Boy Erased actually means. And so Boy Erased is it's a movie about a religious family, and their son is gay, and they send their son to conversion therapy camp, which we have talked about on the show
numerous times, over and over again.
But seeing it in the way that it's been portrayed in this movie is completely different than the way we just talk about it, because it's so visceral and so real. And one of my favorite parts about Troy's interview was he is hopeful that what this movie will do is affect the parents and not necessarily, of course it's going to affect gay kids and like kids around the nation, but like he wants to see parents learn from this and like what they're putting their kids through. He was saying that when he was on set, when he arrived on set, they basically gave him all of the materials that he would have received as if he had walked right into this camp, right? Or this conversion therapy
center.
Center, yeah. And there were like so many rules, like men can't wear clothes that are too tight. Women have to carry handbags. Like, just like, you think, when I heard this, I'm like, I'm thinking 1950s. I'm thinking like that conservative level of like, we are training you to live in a world where you are what society wants you to be instead
rather
of
rather than who you are.
Right. And it's just, I think that this movie and Troy, I mean, like, he's, what's crazy about Troy is that he's come out, he's growing as a huge pop star, but he's an out artist and he's an advocate. And you see so many people that are like, it takes them years to get there. And he just started there. And he is not, I mean, the way he talks about this movie, the way he advocates for this movie and for the kids that have gone through this, it's just beautiful. And I'm really hoping that this movie is as beautiful as the way he was talking about it, and informative and important for our community, because there are so many people that we probably know within our community that were sent to these camps, mm-hmm. or were sent to these therapies or centers.
Well, there are a couple of handful of states, Connecticut being one of them, where we're at, that criminalized.
I think the worst part you said, though, handful.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
We need more. And I think that this is going to open up the door for that discussion in these states, in where it is still criminal. It is still allowed for people to actually send their children to conversion therapy.
You know, when I was a kid and when I came out, I got kicked out of the house and whatever. And I moved up, you know, and I went to live with friends and whatnot. But I had to go to therapy before I could move home. And my parents had to go too. Like, it was like a, it was a thing that we were like mandated to do. And my parents at the time, let alone, I love my parents, they're amazing. It took us a long time to get where we are, and we are there, and I love them. I'm not sure if my mom, but at least my father was hoping that this therapy was going to change me.
Right, was going to cure you of your homosexuality.
Exactly. But in reality, it was a therapist that was literally helping me through the struggles that I was going through, which is, luckily, my case. But that's not the case for a lot of people. And a lot of people are forced into situations because when you're, 10, 12 now, people coming out, like 15, you don't have money. You don't have any place to go. So you're going to get kicked out, or you have to go to this camp to make your parents happy. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, in this one clip that you see, it's like Troy is saying, just play the part.
Just do what you got
to
do.
Fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. And no one should have to feel that way. No one should have to be forced into a situation in which they have to fake or hide behind this facade that's never going to change who they are.
That's so true. It's just, to me, what you put your child through is something horrendous. It is something that's going to scar them for the rest of their lives. It's just very simple. You know, when we had Tony Furriello on the show, I remember this was part of our transgender spotlight for the month of November last year. He said something that resonated with me and stuck with me. And he said that, if you don't agree with your child's choices in life, whether that's a choice or not, some people seem to think it is, some don't. I don't believe it's a choice. You are born that way and you are who you are. But if you don't agree with your child's orientation, cry and do whatever you have to do, but do it behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. Your son still needs, or daughter still needs, unconditional love. Wrestle with your feelings, deal with what you have to deal with, but go in a room and cry yourself to whatever. But don't
put it on them.
Especially when they're at the most impressionable moments of their lives.
Exactly. I mean, like, the thing is, and I've said this on the show, it took me years and years and years to come to terms with and forgive mainly my dad, but my family for everything that I went through. And it did shape and change the course of my life. And that's okay for me. Like, I'm fine with it. And it made me a stronger person. But you have to imagine what this child is going through, what this one person is going through to have the strength to say what they're saying to you. You need to then take that and digest that somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Because I know it's hard for parents too, but it's harder for the child, and they're growing and they're impressionable. So you need to take whatever you need to digest somewhere else.
And it's bad enough that, you know, parents have their children growing up with this preconceived notion that my child should be this. You know, I want my son to be a doctor. I want my son to be a lawyer. I want my son to be this. I don't want them to be this. So those expectations alone make it hard enough for a child.
You always want the best for your kid. And yes, being gay is not the easiest life.
It is not.
It's a harder life because it's an oppressed group of people.
Yes.
And yes, that's changing, at least in some sections of America. But at the same time, it's also one of the most beautiful groups of people mm-hmm. I've ever encountered in my entire life, minus Chris. I mean, Chris is like, you know, Chris.
Pretty terrible.
I love Chris.
He's a little hairy.
He's all right.
All right. Well, listen, well, that being said, thank you. That's an amazing story, and I'm looking forward to the movie. The movie releases in
November. I don't know the date, but November.
November 2nd.
And it's got an all-star cast, man. Nicole Kidman, Russell Crowe.
That's right.
Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, it's got a slamming cast. It's going to be good.
I can't wait. So that being said, listen, we're going to take a break because when we come back, we have the incredible Dr. Evan Goldstein with us. We're super excited because, again, he took 2 months off, but we've got him back right after this break. Here's some music. We will be back.
My head gets caught in the moment, but my heart doesn't know it. Heart doesn't know it. Somehow I'm lost in the lonely, but it's too hard to show it. Too hard to show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was Davis Mallory with Dance With Me. And, you know, I freaking love that song because it's just so rhythmic and gets me into the mood. But anyway, so our guest today took a 2-month hiatus for the summer, but, you know, he's back. And
she was busy.
He was. Joining us now is Dr. Evan Goldstein of Bespoke Surgical for this month's Tales from the Tales. Welcome back.
Thanks. How was your summer?
Summer was good. It's over. I can't believe it's over already.
I don't even want to talk about it.
How was your summer?
It was good. Everything was good. Back, ready to go. I see you guys got new lights and new cameras. You guys are big time.
Hey, well, we're trying to make some improvements. We've got, you know, replaced the drop ceiling, put some recessed lighting in here, and, you know, trying to make this one look good.
It takes a lot.
Yeah.
In other words, it takes a lot.
In other words, he got a new credit card to max out.
Lies. Don't say that. So how are you, Dr. Evan Goldstein?
I am great. Are we talking about my asshole today?
We are. And I'm super excited about it.
So we had a choice of topic for this month's Tales from the Tales, and we decided that we wanted to talk about what it would be like when the doctor actually becomes the patient. And you have quite the interesting story there. So we wanted to talk about your story and all that went along with that entire process. So let's start with...
Can I start with something?
Yes, go for
it. Okay, so I want to get the debauchery out of the way, and I want to talk about the fact that you can shoot ping pong balls out of your ass. So let's talk about that. Can you actually shoot ping pong balls out of your ass?
No. My ass.
I like literally was reading this today, and all I could think about was Dr. G, like, twerking with ping pong balls popping out of his butt.
It reminds me, like, I think it was a scene in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yes, that's why I wrote that. It was exactly how
he probably doesn't know what I'm talking about, or do you?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm just picturing him shooting ping pong balls out of his ass and Trish with like paddles like trying to hit him back.
So Priscilla, Queen of the Desert was a movie that came out quite a while ago, and it's loosely what the movie To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmark was based on, except that scene with the ping pong balls coming out of the character in the movie's vagina was not featured in To Wong Fu.
Oh, captivating.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, now that we have that out of the way.
Sorry, I had to bring it up.
Let's talk about your butthole.
All right, where to begin? So I think it's just as common as many clients that come into my office. You know, when I was in medical school, I developed a fissure from constipation and irregular bowels. And, you know, I didn't even know what I was going into, and that gay science wasn't around at that point. So it was painful. You're bleeding. You can't shit. It's like, you know, it's debilitating. So I went to one of my colleagues and we went under a small procedure, which we had spoken about on the show before, called a fissurectomy, where you kind of cut out that old scar.
Can you just explain what a fissure is to our new listeners?
Sure. Sure. So a fissure is basically a tear. So there's lots of high pressures from taking shits, pressures from having intercourse. And the high pressure that you generate in that area, the skin is actually very, very thin. It can create tears. And a tear is basically a cut in a really bad spot. And the reason is that it's not like a cut on your hand. If you have a cut on your hand, the skin mends beautifully. In the asshole, it doesn't mend like that. It tries to, but then you shit again. It tries to, and then we have sex again. And so what winds up happening is that the body is smart. It kind of grows extra skin in that area, and it forms this scar. But that scar itself is very weak. So anytime that you go forward to attempt any of those, shitting, sex, all that stuff, you have the propensity for it to tear again. And it's super, super common. And people go through kind of waves where it may be weeks to months where people feel that everything's under control and you feel great. And then all of a sudden you have one anal experience or you have one big shit that just kind of tears it open and restarts the whole process.
So was your experience the shit?
Mine was the shit. I was not bottoming at that time. I was more into the vagina at that time, if you believe it. Oh my goodness.
It's possible.
That's a whole nother story.
I'm sorry, we have to end this phone call.
Well, you know, it is possible. We did find out that Nick at one point in time slept with a woman too. So it's like, you know, nothing
once,
shocks us.
Once.
Nothing shocks us anymore. So it's allowed.
Yeah, exactly. So I lived with it for quite a while, just like embarrassed like everybody else. And then finally realized that I can't go on with life having problems taking shits. Let me see somebody. So I went. I saw one of my colleagues, and we did a small surgery where you kind of clean out that fissure. You clean the tear out. And then what he wound up doing at that time was cutting a little bit of muscle because I was quite tight. Okay. And in the gay world now, knowing what I know, you should never cut muscle, especially in our gay world, just simply because we need that muscle, obviously, to kind of function daily. But also, as we're aging and we're bottoming, the more muscle you have in that area, the better you will be from a longevity perspective. Does that make sense? Absolutely. So you don't want to be too loose. I hate the term loose. I use elastic, too elastic. where then, you know, the sensations change and the bottoming changes. So obviously I was living a straight world at that time. I was not out. I wasn't even on my radar. And then what wound up happening is that they cleaned out the fissure and cut the muscle. And it's okay. You know, I'm not shitting on the street or anything like that.
Not a bridesmaid.
Exactly. Not a bridesmaid. And then I came out in my life. I met my current partner, Andy, and we started kind of, you know, and then I started this whole practice of kind of gay science. And I started to realize a lot has changed, and we're really at the forefront of really, you know, pioneering that change. And then recently, just like all of us, I was using some enemas to clean myself out. And then I started to kind of feel what I thought was more of a hemorrhoid recently, where it was kind of painful. There was a little bit of swelling in the area. And I was like, oh, fuck, don't be an abscess. I was like, I'd rather it be a hemorrhoid, because I knew it would just kind of dissipate with some creams and lotions and taking baths. But then over a couple of days, it got a little bit bigger. It got a little bit redder. It wasn't getting better at all. It was painful. And I was like, all right, I need to do something about it. But nobody else really practices gay medicine,
right?
You know, especially on the gay surgical front. So it was a conundrum, because obviously I needed somebody to take care of me, but I needed myself to take care of me, because nobody else is really doing this type of stuff.
So when you're talking about this abscess, like if I'm not a doctor and I'm feeling like there's something going on, how would I know that I have an abscess versus a hemorrhoid, which is manageable, or a fissure? Like, because I have no idea. Like, how would I know?
Yeah. It's very difficult. It was even difficult for me, because you can't really see your ass. You know, I'm like, I'm putting a phone, I'm putting the iPhone, I'm telling my kid Phoenix, I'm like, Phoenix, shine this iPhone up my ass.
So, I want to read something that you put on the Medium blog.
Wait, hold on. I want him to finish talking about how you can figure out.
But it relates to
okay.
That. All right. So you said, after performing daily inspections, I could see what now was transforming into a localized anal infection with an abscess. And you were like, oh, fuck me. It wasn't pretty. Not pretty at all. Go.
Okay. So, you know, when you're having a hemorrhoid is a little bit more of a bluish hue. It's kind of like, it looks like a grape or like a pea. And it's painful, but it's not red. It's not like indurated. It doesn't look like a pimple. You know, like if your pimples on your face, think about that. A pimple on the face is similar to an abscess in the anal region, where it gets swollen, it gets a little irritated. It may have like a white head that's there. And it just doesn't get better. Hemorrhoids that are there, if you're doing the right things, usually in 2 to 3 days, you start seeing somewhat of relief. But yet, in an abscess, you can have some fissures, you can feel, you can have fevers, you could feel as if it's red, it's not getting better, it may get a little bit more swollen, and that's how you can kind of tell. It's not easy. That's why when you start feeling these symptoms, within like 24 to 48 hours, if things aren't abating and getting better, best thing to do is to have somebody really evaluate.
Because, not anti. You know,
Not Andy or not my kid Phoenix.
Poor Andy. Probably not.
Hey, you Phoenix. Right. Hey, Phoenix. Grab my iPhone.
It's funny. I just saw my testicles. You know, that was it.
Download that app and then put the light on and take a photo.
It's interesting that you mentioned pimple, because I was thinking back to the swamp ass episode when you had come on. Can you get pimples in between your ass cheeks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like they're the worst.
Yeah.
They're like an ingrown hair.
Yeah, more ingrown hairs, pimple-ish stuff. And those you can kind of like pop or kind of poke a little bit. This one is like a little bit more under the skin.
Okay.
And like, you know, Andy and I was like, you know, trying, I was like, just take this needle, just like jab the fucking thing.
Oh my God.
But like, and then I was like standing there, you know how it is? Like you stand there and you're like, I can do it. I can do it. And like, I couldn't do it. I'm such a wuss.
So it's funny that you bring that up, because this weekend, one of my good friends from college showed up at the bar that we work at. And the first time I ever gave myself an enema, she was there, and we had this like landing in our townhouse, and I'm sitting in the bathroom with this enema, like ready to put it into my butthole. And she's like, do you need my help? I'm like, no, don't come in here. I can't do it. Come in here. No, don't come in here.
A mess.
So similar, exact same, similar situation, to the point where I was like, all right, this is not going to happen. Let me go see someone. Of course, I know people in the field. So I went, and I got to say, I've had like shots everywhere. I've had major surgery. A fucking shot in your asshole is the most painful fucking thing I have ever been through. Ever. Oh. I mean, it was unbelievable, to the point where like I'm like holding on for dear life. She's like, get the fucking thing out of me, man.
You never thought you'd ever say that.
Oh my God.
So, like, when you're having these conversations with your fellow colleagues or your fellow doctors who is about to treat you, do you ever, like, get to that point where, like, dude, I do this for a living, too. I don't think that's the best, like, recourse. Why don't we try this? Do you find that there is, like, that...
You can definitely have a dialogue. I think, you know, there's ways to be professional and there's ways to communicate. You know, look, the reality is that I think tons of people can do what I do. I think the issue comes kind of after you create the kind of drainage of the abscess, or after you do surgery. It's kind of understanding the nature, specifically in our gay community, of how to get people back to bottoming. And that's where the disconnect is that, yes, he can drain an abscess. He knows where to drain the abscess. And he did a great job and drained it, regardless of me crying and shitting all over the place. but with that being said, you know, I think it's post-surgical, it's post-intervention, to really understand, like, who the clients are, what are you engaging in, what type of activity, and how do we get you back to what you want to do, and being honest and having those appropriate discussions. And that's where it becomes, I didn't even have those discussions with him. You know, he just is like, all right, I know where to drain it. I'll drain it and get the fuck out of my office. You know, that's basically it.
So when you go to the doctor, right, do you immediately go back to that vulnerable patient mindset, right? Because your doctor says, drop your pants, and you tend to be shy unless the doctor's really happy. Like, I'll gladly drop my pants.
Like, but if I was in his office.
Exactly. Okay. But that's not usually the case, right? So do you...
She'll be in the freaking check-in room, and she's just like...
I'm done. Are you kidding me? The doctor will walk in, he'll be butt naked. I'm ready. So do you go into that mindset of, you're no longer the doctor, you're the patient, and now you become shy and like, oh my God, you want me to drop my pants? Like, do you go through that?
I think as we age and as I get into my 40s, you become more of that guy that's in the bathroom that's farting and shitting and doesn't care about anybody else in there. You know, that person that's just like, fuck it, I'm just going to let it loose and I don't care. I think you get that mentality. But when you're in so much pain that you are just like, all right, fuck it. You know, like right before you step foot in that office, I'm like, I got to do this. There's nothing, I need this taken care of, you know? So you drop trow and, you know, you just like, I don't care. Just get up there. And I'm like, ass up in the air, you know, taped up, and my hole is exposed. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is crazy. We should have taped it for Gay Talk 2.0.
All right. So can I ask, I want to talk more about the whole like bathroom situation that's talked about in your article, but how does an abscess come to be? And then, like, when you have an abscess, like, what is the appropriate, how do you actually treat it? Do we have to go see you? Can we go see anybody? Like, what's the process in dealing with it?
Yes. So I think a couple of things. One is that in case of a fissure, which I had originally, you kind of develop this little pocket of skin. And this pocket sometimes can get bacteria in it. So there are a lot of bottoms that have this kind of phantom fissures, which are basically, you look at them and you're like, oh, the S is fine. And they see a lot of physicians over and over and they're like, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. But like when they're using enemas or you're having sex, what happens is a little bit of that mucus or a little bit of fluid gets in that pocket and creates this localized irritation. So people say like that they just, they're having pain during sex, it's not enjoyable, or there's a little bit of mucus. This is what it can develop. And so with me, I was using an enema, cleaning myself out, and it must have triggered exactly that, that some fluid got into that pocket, and then it couldn't get out. So over time, what happens is just develops this kind of pocket of pus, of inflammation and infection. Okay. And then on a surgical front, how you drain this is you want to drain the abscess actually as close as you possibly can to the actual anal opening, because there's this thing which is called an anal fistula, which is a connection from inside that can connect to where you make your cut. So if I make my cut really far away from the actual hole, now I have a connection that's quite far. Versus if I make it very close to the anal opening, if it develops into a connection, it develops it into a very short connection, which is a very easy procedure to go through. I know it's a little complicated. Did I explain it right?
Yeah, definitely. When you say connection, how bad is it when you develop this connection?
It depends on where it originates from. So okay. I basically tell people all the time that there could be simple connections and complex connections. Simple connection is one that's just literally directly into the asshole, but what happens is that there's no muscle involved. Okay. So it's basically just right under the skin. Complex is a connection between muscles, and there's obviously a lot of different muscles that are there. So depending upon the extent of how much muscle it's involved depends on the complexity. So seeing someone that knows this when they're draining, it's refreshing, because when you go there and you need a drainage, you have someone that's placing it, knowing that if there's a complication where it develops this connection, at least it's going to develop it in a simple way that right. makes the surgery quite simple. Okay. Now, sometimes you don't have any choice. Like if you're sitting for too long where you don't go see somebody, it can burst on its own.
Right.
And that's a common issue that people have. They're walking down the street, they're in pain, all of a sudden they have fucking pus running down their leg because it bursts on its own. Okay. And if it bursts on its own, you obviously don't have a choice as to where you're draining it. And sometimes it drains quite far away. And then it kind of sets up that complex type of stuff. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So if I found myself in a situation where I thought I had an abscess, could not come see you because you are bicoastal, but I don't live there. What doctor would I look up? Like, how is it a derma or a...
Most proctologists are adept to understanding the principles and are able to take care of the abscess drainage. And I think where it becomes a little bit more complex is if it develops into that connection, which is called that fistula,
right.
It's now really being honest with what you're using the asshole for. And again, in our community, it's now really making sure that they understand that, like, this is where you want to go, because some of the complex surgeries could entail cutting some of that muscle, could make you looser, could make you incontinent. There's certain things that people are doing that may be well and good for the heterosexual community, but in the gay community, it may set us up for failure.
When it comes to a procedure like this, is this something that's a simple procedure, or is this something that has general anesthesia, which then becomes an expensive procedure? Is this then time frame wise as well?
It's outpatient procedures, same day surgery, 20 to 40 minute procedures. From an expense perspective, it really depends obviously on the insurance policy that people have. But the reality is that no, it's not terribly onerous and it's not crazy complex. It's just a matter of that a lot of these, unless it's simple, the complex fistulas have a high chance of recurrence, right, if not done the correct way. So you're talking about some of these are 50 to 70% success rate. So that means like, you know, 30 to 50% failure rate on this complex anal fistula is right, quite high.
So if I were to go to a doctor and try to have this conversation with them, what are some telltale signs of like, no, this is not the right guy to drain this fistula or this abscess? Like, how would I know if I'm walking in and trying to have an open conversation, this person is not the right person to do it because they're not going to do it right because they don't understand what it means to be a gay man? Or
yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously anyone that's listening can use me as their advocate. You can always email and reach out to us. We're more than happy, even if I'm not doing the procedure, to kind of give guidance and communicate so that people get the best care possible. So that's number one. But I think, you know, one, I would let them ask the questions and simply see if they go down that road of kind of getting into a really good sexual history. Okay. And then if they don't get into an appropriate sexual history, you know, I live my life like I feel like everybody on this planet is gay and my world is a gay world, that like, you know, you just got to be real and just be like, look, this is what I want to understand that like we're going into some element of a relationship right now. And I need to know that this person on the other side cares for who I am. So let me just explain who I am. I'm gay, I'm a bottom, this is what I'm doing, I'm partnered, I'm not, I have multiple partners, and there should not be any judgment in that, there should not be any bias in it, there should not be anything. And if there is, if there's stigma, if there's anything that's associated with that, I think you have to really reevaluate. If it's an abscess, you want to get it drained, get antibiotics, and get yourself out of harm's way. And then once it's drained and you're feeling better, then you can kind of bring me into the conversation or come and see us or I can help you find somebody that can get you into the same realm that I feel as if we're providing here.
Right.
So I want to go back to your story. I want to go back to the Medium blog. You typically tell stories about your patients, sans no name, right? Just generalized stories of situations and people that you have encountered throughout the years that you've been practicing. Why tell your story? What's the significance with that? Do you feel that telling your story is going to help a lot of people that may be going through some similar situations, being that you're a doctor that specifically takes care of this type of thing?
I think it was a multifaceted kind of situation. I think one, people always ask me, you know, do I really know what anal pain is? And, you know, or do you know that you inflict so much fucking anal pain that we hate you, but then we love you? And so I think one, it's to let everybody know that one, I'm part of the community, because I think that's important. Mm-hmm. I think two, it's so that everybody understands that that I don't want to inflict pain, that we're only trying to get the end result, which is a positive result, and get you back to the community that you want to be in. So that also, I think that, you know, when it's a cathartic for me, right, that I'm able to kind of write about situations that I go through, that I'm able to kind of make sure that people understand that I'm a person, you know, just like everybody else. I'm a patient, I'm a client, I'm everything. And then I also think that, you know, just so that people understand from an evaluation perspective, the conundrum that I was even in. Especially as a gay male, to find somebody, even in the city of New York, that I trust, that I feel is capable enough to really give the best quality care. It's not easy. So if it's not easy for me, fuck yeah, it's not easy for a tremendous amount of people, you know, to find that care and feel comfortable with that and know that they're going to be treated, you know, the exact way that everybody should be treated.
That's amazing and selfless, because, you know, I often find that in my experience, equating some sort of situation to some personal experience not only helps me understand what someone else is going through, but also helps them know that, you know, I've been through it. I can give you a little bit of guidance that might make it easier for you so that you don't have to go through all the things that I did. Well, obviously, we know that when it comes to a fistula or some sort of anal tear, that's not the case. I mean, we all have to go through the pain and the suffering, but knowing that you have the experience, I think, makes them feel better about coming to see you, knowing that you know what you're talking about because you've experienced it yourself.
And I think that one of the things for me is that, you know, even though I wear a white coat and even though I'm you know, deemed a physician, I think realistically I treat everybody as if, you know, you come through my office that you're my friend. And the way that we're having this frank conversation now is how I built this practice, you know, is that I want people to call me Evan. I want people to feel as if that they have a friend on the other side. And I think that telling the story just really brings me to that level where it is what it is. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I want people to know about it and then be able to, use this in their armamentarium to get better.
So I want to go back a little bit to the fissure and that causing you constipation problems. So why would a fissure and or an abscess cause constipation?
The other way around.
Yeah, it's
the
constipation
around.
That was causing the fissures.
Oh, oh my God.
Yeah. Light bulb, boom.
She is so blonde sometimes.
Maybe I need to put another downlight on him.
Yeah, but right. I mean, but again, that's
make him brighter. That's a good question.
But that's a great
question. No, it is. Yeah. It is. Total good question. So again, it depends on how you look at it. There are people that get anal fissures from intercourse and then because of the pain develop constipation and it sets people into this kind of rhythm of where they just can't get it healed. In my case, it was constipation. I was working 120 hours a week. You know, you're in surgery when you need to take a shit, you can't. So you force it out. So those types of stuff. Right. And I think, you know, you see it very, very commonly, gay, straight, whomever, kids in their 20s, you know, nobody teaches us the right way to take a shit. It just doesn't happen. And so you see it where people go to college, they're away, they're kind of out of their routine. They're not eating healthy. They're running around. They're drinking a lot. Everything's happening. We're like, you know, it's inevitable where you start to see. And then as we get into our late 20s, you start to analyze, okay, well, I can't be, you know, on Instagram for 40 minutes on the toilet bowl and taking shits, you know, and there's certain things that you learn that you're able to change to the point where now it minimizes the issues.
Right. So I have a weird question.
You always do. Go for it.
So I was recently in a relationship and this gentleman had a very, he was endowed. I mean, like, how best to say
girthy or long?
Both.
Or both.
It was perfect. So that being said, so I've struggled with hemorrhoids my entire sexual life. But when I was having sex with him, with this girthy, perfect, long penis, no issues. Until the sex stopped. Why would that happen? Does that even make any sense?
You were probably in such bliss.
I'm like, I think he's just numbing it. Like, I don't know what's happening.
I think it was a stimulation of your prostate and the fact that he was doing it right that completely made you forget about the fact that you were feeling pain about your...
Maybe.
No, what winds up happening is that, you know, a lot of times during the act, you're able to receive and, you know, you get the pleasures that you need to. But what winds up happening is that there's trauma and there's inflammation and there's swelling. And that just takes time to kind of take hold. And you may have been in La La Land because the perfect cock
for a while.
But with that being said, you know, I mean, I think that it's super, super common to potentially have that happen. So certain things is that, like, you know, everyone's reflex is to, in their orgasm, is to really be, you know, kind of spastic and squeezing and really be in that. And the key component, especially anally, is to try and relax as you're coming. It's not so easy to do because it decreases the pressure there. Also, like taking Advil or Motrin, like an anti-inflammatory, really helps kind of decrease those, that type of stuff that can potentially happen, like hemorrhoids develop and swelling.
Interesting.
So there's certain things that you potentially, and then just like after, just you could just sit on like a fucking ice something or something like that. So it just kind of gets up to swell.
Fill a bucket with ice.
I just fall asleep with, you know, everything there. Anyway.
Wow.
First and empty whatever is inside.
I mean, yeah, of course.
That's important.
So before we move on, I want to ask you a question about the scholarship that's on your website.
Oh, sure.
But before we get there, I want you to talk a little bit about this whole you sitting on the toilet and pulling out whatever you had after the abscess was released and your child coming in. I want you to tell us that story because it's literally, I think it's just so cute.
Oh, yeah, real cute.
Yeah, right? I was like, I don't know if that's the word I want to describe
it as. No, that's
not
the right word.
No, usually when you have, so the abscess was drained and they pack, you know, you pack the abscess. And then at some point you have to take the packing out. And of course the doctor's like, take out the packing tomorrow. And I don't fucking listen because I was like, I don't want packing in me all night long. And it's kind of, it's painful in and of itself. So I'm in the shower. I got everything all wet. And then I, of course, you know, I have hair back there. I rip the hair up and it's so fucking painful.
Oh my God.
And then there's the packing that I need to pull out. And I'm like, all right, I just got to do it. You get it as wet as you possibly can so that it gets soaked up with the water that when it comes out as easy as possible. But clearly when I pulled it, I pulled off a scab and all of a sudden I'm like gushing blood down my leg. I can't get it to stop. And I'm like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. So, like, you know, and of course all my towels are white and I step outside and now it's like red. And so I finally find some gauze. I shove it up my ass. I'm holding it there and I sit on, I'm soaking wet with blood dripping down and I'm sitting on the bathtub and Phoenix opens the door and there's blood, may I say, there's kind of blood everywhere. Everywhere. And he comes in with his iPad. He's like, oh, daddy, I really want to download this Dr. Panda game. Can you put in your ID, you know, to get the game? And I said, are you kidding me? I'm like, do you even see like what's going on? So of course, there I am sitting there. And of course, schmuck me, I fill out the thing and I'm like, there you go. And send him on his way. Not once did he say, you know, daddy, there's blood all over the place. Or daddy, are you okay? Nothing at all. It was all about the iPad. So it was actually quite funny.
I could never imagine having to go through that. Imagine just having blood. Like, from my imagination, it's like a crime scene in your bathroom.
Yeah, right?
And this kid's just like, dad,
Password in.
Put your password in.
I just want your password. Why don't you just put your finger on it, authorize a darn purchase. I'll be on my way and you can take care of whatever it is that you're going through.
Exactly. Like, I'll clean the blood off the iPad later.
Yeah.
But I stopped the bleeding. It was all good. And then I was just in so much relief from the abscess drained that it's all good. And then I should just say that I'm not draining out of my ass. My asshole looks as pretty as it did before. I'm fine. Things are back to where they need to be. And so like I said to you before, you can develop this fistula, which is about 50-50. So when it's drained, 50% of the time you heal and it never rears its head again, or 50% of the time it can. So right now I'm in the good 50%, but who knows, maybe because I said that and I'm talking to you next week.
Sorry.
My surgery, who knows.
So how long does it take you to heal from going through, you know, an abscess draining?
Most people should be like 2 to 3 days of improvement, but still annoying. Okay. And then after about like the 3 to 5 day mark, you should really start to see much improvement. But, you know, the problem is the abscess is so much pressure in the muscle area that's what really causes so much pain. So once you relieve that pressure, it's like night and day.
So before
you walk a little funny, but it's all good,
honey. We all do. So before we get, I really want to talk about the scholarship. But before we get into that, I want to ask one more question. So you have an abscess. You get it out. You heal. How long is it until you should bottom again?
There's no right answer to that. But I think obviously most people go back to the physician about 2 to 3 weeks after drainage. And then at that point, we would do a full internal evaluation, make sure there's nothing that we miss, take a look externally and make sure it's healed. And then most of the time, what I suggest is kind of first starting with a toy or a butt plug, something small by yourself, so you can kind of see that it works, that it functions, that it doesn't recreate irritation or any problems associated with that. And I usually tell people, if you do it sooner, he better be worth it, right? and if he's worth it, then I will take care of it. Don't worry. I'm like, just take it, take it, take it, take it.
Oh my God.
Lord have mercy.
All right, so we talked about this blog. It was great.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about this scholarship that you have going on for Bespoke.
Yeah. So we just finished it. We announced three winners. One grand prize winner, and then the other second and third place, just because we love them all. And we just kind of put out a campaign. You know, I'm in my 40s, and, you know, it's sometimes hard for me to really know what is an 18, 17-year-old kid, what are they going through in terms of LGBT issues. And so we kind of put it out there to really find out what's important to them. Obviously, what's important to me and to you guys is different than what it is to a 17-year-old. So we kind of put it out to the students to give us kind of an understanding of, one, kind of who they are and what their makeup is and their background and some difficult times that they have gone through. But then also, like, what's important to them in terms of issues associated with them and their community, and then to kind of give us some solutions as to how they're going to approach their education, how do they approach advocacy, and what are some of the things that go into that. So it was really great for us. It was really great to see. So we got a ton, I think a couple of hundred submissions for this, and we narrowed it down, and we really found some amazing stories that people, and things that I can't even imagine going through. You know, I'm so shielded in New York City by having such support, and, New York is so gay. It's fucking awesome, you know, but that's not the world, you know?
Yeah. No, but it's, you know, what's really amazing about this scholarship is, I mean, there are obviously not plenty, but other scholarships out there for LGBTQ plus individuals that want to go to school. But you are now, is this just a one-time thing? Or are we doing this again next year? Okay, yeah, so you can get up to $2,000 to be an advocate for the LGBTQ youth. Is that the...
Yeah, it's basically, you know, and again, I'll just kind of give to James Vank. She's a student at Dickinson College, and really just talked about a lot of the issues that surrounded coming out and some trans and kind of the conversion and all this type of stuff. But also, again, you know, really showing us what are the current, you know, issues associated, and what are some of the things that you're going to do in your career, in your life, in your education, and how can we be impactful in that to make a stamp? Because that's obviously the generation that is up and coming, and really going to be great for all of us.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah. So if anyone would wanted to apply for or sign up for the possibility of being considered as a candidate for this scholarship, where would they go?
So first they can go on the Bespoke Surgical website to the campaigns section. And in that, they can take a look at kind of what it was that really gave the awesome advocacy from this student. But in a couple of months, we'll re-release the next round. It's usually not until, I think, after the new year that my team will put out kind of 2019 to 2020 scholarship.
Gotcha.
And again, it may be a different subject that we'll choose to kind of find out more information from the youth. But people can go there, obviously follow us on Insta and the Facebook and everything that give people access. But if they follow us on Insta, once we will announce the next round of scholarships.
Beautiful. Awesome. That's amazing. Well, Doctor, I don't want to take much more of your time, but I want to thank you, as always, for joining us. We did miss you 2 months without Dr. Evan Goldstein. Was kind of like harsh.
I know. It was
he's
really
very
bad.
Easy on the eyes.
We spent all that money on those ping pong balls, and they're just sitting in their case.
Right? And so, you know, we look forward to, as always, you know, seeing your face on our screen and being able to have a conversation with you, because it's just always so much informative, amazing, funny, witty,
educational
stuff that you give us is just amazing. And I know that a lot of our listeners that listen to the show get a lot from what you have to talk about and give and
actually
and provide.
Who was that person? So somebody emailed us a couple of weeks ago, and they were like, talking about everything that we talk about on the show, and they were like, except for Dr. Goldstein, he's for us. He's just for us. Like, you guys are so worldly and great, and you talk about everything, but Dr. Evan Goldstein's for us.
But, you know, it's great. So, again, thank you for taking time out of your day and out of your busy schedule, I would assume, for talking and having a conversation with us.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely, guys. And Nick, I think next one is your ass. Is
I guess we're going to talk about my ass. Yeah. I got to come see you in New York.
We're going to put it all on the line.
Oh, God. He's going to look at it and be like, what had happened here?
It's like the Grand Canyon on steroids. You'll be fine.
Jesus Christ.
Got a lot of room to play there.
I'm also thinking the next time we have you on from top to bottom, we should probably talk about anal bleaching.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just gonna put that out there. You sit on that, think about it, gauze, whatever you need, and then we'll come back in a couple weeks.
Fabulous.
That sounds awesome. All right, guys, I appreciate it. Have a great night, and thanks again.
Thank you. Much love, lots of hugs. Right. Thank you, doctor.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Take care.
All right. Well, that was the incredible Dr. Evan Goldstein of Bespoke Surgical. Dr. Goldstein has been working with us for a number of months, to the exception of the summer months, to educate us on a lot of the things that can go south or go wrong down south in our booty hole area. And no, it's just great. I really love talking to the guy. He's just very easy to look at too. So he's just dreamy. But either way, it's always good to know that all of the changes that we've been making in here were noticed, which is always feels good. Mm-hmm. And that being said, did you have a story that you want to talk about, Christopher?
Uh-uh. It's like me last week. I was like, I'm not here. I'm not doing it.
Super busy.
No, I actually had a story last week, but I was like, I'm not feeling it.
So anyway, so that being said, I think that maybe we can just bring it home and call it a day.
Let's do it.
So I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Thank you, Dr. Evan Goldstein, for joining us once again. And we've got two more things we're going to cover, and then we'll bring it home. So why don't we start with our Gay Talk term for today?
Oh, sure. Yeah, fine. Of course. So your Gay Talk term, of course, brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
Yeah, it is. It's debutante. One, becoming familiar with his or her homosexuality. Watch your vulgar tongue. That's a debutante. Strictly virgin ears.
I want to say that we did this one before.
We may have,
but it's still funny and it's still amazing. And, you know, those debutantes out there will try to be nice. But
the reason I picked it, right? So I was looking through the book and I'm trying to find conversion therapy or gay therapy or like something to align with that story I was talking about. And I was like, well, debutante, like a new gay.
He's a new gay.
With
young
virgin
gay,
ears.
With virgin ears.
Brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com.
But anyway, thank you for being our debutante for today. Mm. We just, you know, threw her out there here into high society and say, there goes Trish.
Absolutely.
So, Christopher, on this day in gay history, what do we have?
Yes, and since everything's been so upbeat and happy today,
yay,
I'm going to ruin that at the last second.
So,
this is on this day in gay history brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
September 10th. September 10th, 1997, in our own capital of Washington, D.C., the U.S. Senate voted against two gay bills. The Senate voted to reject same-sex marriage in federal law and also votes down another bill that would have outlawed employment discrimination against gays.
Fuck her!
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Exactly.
Not just her. All of them that voted against it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's, you know,
history in the making.
You know what the sad thing is? That we are now facing a lot of chances in where employers are probably going to be able to fire people for being gay, and it'll be okay because of the certain climate and rhetoric that's coming out of the administration that we currently have.
Sure, fine. They'll be maybe potentially allowed to fire somebody based on that, but the backlash is going to be hard, quick, and like
swift.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
If you're thinking about doing it, don't do it.
Yeah, but we'll have to wait and see with how that would go if it got to the Supreme Court.
Because now with this possible,
I'll walk into the Supreme Court. I'll deal with it.
Well, this is very important, right? Because it's very big in the gay community. So I didn't know that Dorothy's ruby red slippers were missing. They were stolen a long time ago. Yeah. They had not found them.
They found them last week.
I think it was like two weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. I was like, they finally raided Trisha's closet.
That's right.
I was like, you know what? Mm. Anyway, so we're going to bring this home. But before we do, before we go through our whole spiel of announcements, I would like to remind everyone that our previous guest that we had on the show, AJ Gibson, that book will be coming out in 5 days. The name of the book is Flipping the Script. We talked about it on the show during his episode, which talks about, you know, self-motivation, self-empowerment, and all that good stuff. Definitely check it out. It's got 5 days before it comes out. It releases on September 15th, and you can get the book on Amazon. And that being said, we're going to bring it home. So if you love the show, please make sure that you rate and review on your favorite podcasting service. This helps others know about the show, and it also ensures that it becomes more visible within our podcasting community. By subscribing to the show, you get the latest and greatest delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episode is published. And as most Patreons already know, you can become a Patreon, support us. By doing so, you get to help with a pledge donation for our weekly episodes. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Chris?
And next week, it's all about the dish. It's just going to be the three of us, a full episode of us dishing about stories from the week.
That's right. And
no, we keep saying that it's going to be all about the dish, and then every once in a while, I'm like, oh, by the way, I booked somebody. So you never know what's going to happen next week.
We might have a guest with us. That
I might be dead. So,
well, after that math class, you just never
don't
know.
Don't say that.
That's not nice. That's not also, pretty. We love you.
No, I'm right. Thank you to our guest, Dr. Evan Goldstein, for joining us on today's episode. We've missed you. It's so good to have you back. We will have all the links available for his website, social media, and today's post.
Of course. And Christopher?
Can we put a rubber on this one, please? I'm very tired.
Okay, I'm going to open the box. Which one would you like?
That one.
Pink?
All right. Thank you. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom? Take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of the web browser where you can leave comments, suggest topics. You can submit a question for the cast or for Chris. You can also call us. You can call us and leave us a voice message where we can take that question and answer it for you on the show. That phone number is 334-GAY-TALK, or if you need all the digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6:30-ish p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.